Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
In 2010, President Bill Clinton, together with Hillary, put in place an initiative in our public school educations that was pressed upon them from the Islamic community in this nation, and they actually put an initiative into the public schools to introduce and teach Islam. And they did it under the guise of allowing all religions, the children, to be introduced in the history track and the world culture track to Islam, to world religions. But it was started and initiated, the pressure was brought, and he responded. The Clintons received over $5.5 million for doing that, Bill and Hillary Clinton. And I remember at the time I was so horrified because I heard about this. I saw him doing the signing, and I went and read the actual curriculum that was being put into the textbooks, into the public school systems. And at that time, because it was open to all, I put out a warning call to all of the teachers that I knew, Christian teachers that I knew, and said, listen, this is our opportunity to step up with a powerful curriculum and get it in there on the baseline of teaching Christianity, the history of Christianity, so on and so forth. I mean, they had them observing the Ramadan fasts, reciting the Islamic prayers, dressing up in the Islamic garb, and so on and so forth. But it was wide open at that time in our public school system for Christians to do that. And do you know what? Not a single teacher responded. Not a single Christian teacher responded. So I just want to say this about, sorry, this is, you know, but there are a lot of things that happen with people in power and money that we don't know about. And we cannot afford to be blind, deaf, and dumb anymore because our values and our history and our children are being stolen from us. So it's time, as, you know, again, I'm excited about the time that we live in, but it's becoming so blatant, but it's because there have been many things behind closed doors, and not even behind closed doors, but we were just kind of all going about our, you know, innocent business. But it's time to awaken and arise with a shofar in our mouth and a bell in our hand and the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord in our education system.
Amen. Amen. And it's still the thing, unless we make a stand. And Charlotte was one of the cities that was picked for their pioneering moves for the transgender
kind of thing. Yes.
And it's like certain cities, and they kind of keep on making progress. So I was in Portland Airport on Friday night and had to use the public bathroom. And I was surprised that, I don't want to get
go ahead
weird, but regular bathrooms, you know, some of you ladies never had that experience, thankfully. But you go to men's room, and there are a few stalls, and then we do whatever we do. And
in the open. I mean, I haven't been an observer, but I know about the facility.
But each of them now was a personal stall. Because the transgenders then can use that. And so it was unusual.
In other words, women identifying as men in the men's bathroom, right? Yeah.
Which it's not that, you know, I said, well, big deal, okay. But men are tolerant. But it'd be the same thing in the women's bathroom.
Yes. That
the men, if they feel like it, they can go in there. And it's insanity.
It's complete insanity. It's very insidious.
And especially trying to inject all kinds of hormones in a 7-year-old boy, so he can make transition. It's like you shake your head and say, this is insane. But these are the kind of values being forced on us. So we need each other to stand with each other, not Christians more than ever. We need to be united against, because we have major forces of darkness that are at work. And then at the Kavanaugh hearings, when she went up there to help lead some of the Christians in prayer, and then the week later,
Sarah and Mary and Nadira,
we helped them go up there to the second part of the hearing. The witches were there and dressed up in their witchy garbs and doing
their incantations
and their prayers for darkness. So it's real.
And so, I might say, embraced by the left, and specifically by the political dynamic of the Democratic Party. I mean, that is the place where the left and all of these particular kinds of elements have found their home, where they have been able to take over the voice of that party platform, unfortunately. Now, that doesn't let Republicans off the hook, because the depth of corruption and greed and the manipulation and deception that has been being worked on us through the Republican Party as well. All of that to say, it is time for Christians to arise and shine. We've got to align with heaven, align with true values, and not be moved from them in any setting, the cultural, educational, political. There's no such thing as separation of church and state.
And, yeah, amen.
And there's no such thing of separating your faith from your voice or your vote.
And more, the try to threaten Christians being Christians. They try to embarrass, they try to isolate, all kinds of things.
Silence, absolutely. Yeah. Bring lawsuits against, put Christian businesses out of business through lawsuits. And none of it's happening by accident. And all of that may sound very, but hallelujah. You know what? We are entering into real Bible days. Real Bible days. And in this region, we probably will be hearing more and more. Always the church tends to talk about these things as we enter into the election cycle scenario. But in reality, the reason the gospel was so controversial is because these people were eyewitnesses of the fact that there was a new and different Caesar. And he was alive and he was ruling, and they were citizens of his kingdom in the earth. And it meant things in terms of the interface with the political and cultural and educational and public discourse of the day. So we are right back in Bible days. No more sleeping. It's exciting.
Amen.
Time for shofars and bells.
Hey, yes. Amen. I'm going to give you some scripture. This is, we have, this week, there'll be a lot of activity where Halloween is concerned and all that. Now, I just want to let you know, of course, that it's not advisable for us to get deep into those kind of practices. That there were witches at the Kavanaugh hearing cursing Christians and cursing our ways. So I don't want us to go into that time frame. I mean, enjoy that which is allowable for us as Christians to celebrate harvest and celebrate that this is, it was, for a lot of people, this time frame in many cultures, this was a time they brought harvest in at this season. And when the harvest comes in, you celebrate, you enjoy. So enjoy that which is enjoyable, but realize that the Lord does not, there are certain things that he frowns on, that Jesus has conquered. And in Colossians chapter 2, I just want to give you one scripture. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, "And Jesus, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." That is, having gotten the victory. Jesus has triumphed over every principality and power. So you have no reason to be afraid or fearful of any power of witchcraft or the occult. But be aware of it. I want to refer you to the Bible verse in Deuteronomy 18. Let me get there. Thank you, Lord. Verses 9 onwards. Lord, now this is the Old Testament, but the New Testament clarifies it further. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any that makes his son or his daughter to pass through fire." This is kind of the practices of the demonic gods that those pagan tribes worship, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. That means obey the word of God, which for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto the observer of times and unto diviners, into these all works of the occult. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. So, and then, as I gave you the scriptures in Colossians, the Corinthians, all of them, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So there are these powers of darkness are real, but you and I have nothing to fear because Jesus Christ has defeated every principality, every power of darkness. So when we see these things practiced, we avoid them, but we do not. Jesus has conquered. We are not afraid of that. So don't deal with this with any kind of fear. I do.
And it's powerful because it's so relevant, so true, and like God, it is an absolute value that continues on. And all of these things foreshadowed were pointing to the ultimate fulfillment in Christ, because there, two verses later, it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet from your midst of your brethren. Like unto me," this is Moses speaking, "unto him you shall hearken." And it's speaking in advance a prophetic type of Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the ultimate prophet, who was to come from the midst of the people, born of the Virgin Mary. The Son of Man, tempted in every way like us, yet without sin, perfect before the Heavenly Father. And ultimately triumphing over all of the powers of death and hell, and making an open display of him. So the scripture is amazing. It's amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yeah, observer of times, necromancer, all of those. When we went to Africa and did a lot of mission work over a number of years, entire cities and societies were under the yoke of sorcerers and all kinds of stuff that I don't prefer not to talk too much about it, but had to deal with shapeshifters and things like that, and the darkness gets darker and darker, so I don't want to talk about it, but we would meet witches and sorcerers, mm-hmm. and the
Not
Lord.
Not for dinner or something, you know. I mean.
But I remember years ago, and sometime I would bring his, may he be here, my friend Jim Croft, but he and I were
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. I mean, God anointed us and helped us. We're in all over, Texas, mm-hmm. New Mexico, Colorado, the surrounding in Louisiana. Our reputation started spreading that if there are people troubled by this oppressive stuff, if they had gone into the occult, they'd open the door to dark shadows, and then you never could tell who suddenly had opened. They didn't realize it, but they had opened the door to all kinds of troubles. And
through participation in things, or oaths, or incantations, or going to astrologers, or fortune tellers, or
we had
even
a
objects.
Lot of, at that time, the seance, Ouija boards,
right,
was
yeah.
The big deal.
Yeah,
this was in the early
70s. Thing when I was a teenager.
And I remember in the city we lived in, there was a university, and suddenly it became the end thing to play with mm-hmm. Ouija boards. And we had to pray for several, especially young ladies that never had trouble there from healthy background and all of that. Suddenly they would have the freakiest experiences and be tormented by terror and would see things in their rooms and things that would enter. Yeah. And yeah. as I would, you know, we were like Holy Ghost detectives. So when did this start? Well, invariably, we used the Ouija board last week and all that. Ever since, they would wake up with all kinds of stuff happening in their rooms and all that. So I'm just saying that it's not like, oh, poo-poo. There is some yuck stuff attached to this stuff. And the best thing is stay away. Don't have anything to do with this dark, demonic thing. If there has been, we can put it under the blood. That's why you see me emphasizing communion. If you got any problem, come, bring the people. If they are tormented by anxieties, fears, unknown things, come. And sometimes I will prescribe to them. I'm like a spiritual doctor, but I will say, okay, I want you to take communion. Let your husband minister, and then take this oil, anoint, and we'll pray over you. There are different kinds of things we can do to be free from that. But just the best thing is not to go into that. The Bible says, stay away from this junk.
Well, and as we know, the Lord has spoken to us specifically about this year and the rise of the priestly office, the priestly service and working of the saints in this time frame moving forward into this next decade. And you have an anointing from the Holy One to cast out demons and to free people who are bound up. So receive afresh today the reality that you have an anointing for power over every force of darkness, and for people who you come across or come to you or maybe be in your family, whatever, who have various kinds of oppressions, the Lord will give you not only discernment, but authority and power to free people from those oppressions. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to set at liberty those who are bound. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. To heal the brokenhearted. Praise the Lord.
Here's a scripture I want to give you in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, well, I remember Derek Prince talking about, where, if there is a wherefore, find why it's a therefore.
Yeah.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and give him a name which is above every name. Now this is, I'll tell you, this is one of the secrets of anointed ministry, is you get this truth inside. Put your hand on your belly. Say here.
Here.
Not just here.
Not just here.
Put your finger on here. Not just here.
Not just here.
But here.
But here.
And Jesus said in John 7, which was last week, or sorry, the Feast of Tabernacles, where he stood and said, anyone thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that belly reference is, for me, that's where your spirit abides. I mean, just my theory. But you want to get confident. Let it be a revelation. Say revelation.
A revelation.
So it's not just your brain studying the Word of God, which is, it is fine, but you become one with the truth that no one can separate you. You will never be, as you get this, you find, for example, for therefore God also has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name. So any kind of entity and any universe has to recognize that the name of Jesus is above every name.
Hallelujah.
So he is the chiefest, ultimate, chief of all chiefs, king of all kings. That's his title. That the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is, I mean, it's your truth. Say my truth.
My truth.
You've got to embrace it. And then, it, you know, you are so confident in it, you'll find. When you have children, so, I don't know how many of you, when the kids were little, they would have some nightmares or they would sometimes be afraid to go to sleep. How many of you had that experience? See?
Yeah.
And you have to tell them and pray with them and say, Jesus is Lord. He is King. And you have no reason to be afraid because Jesus has conquered all. Every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. By the way, there are other, especially this Islamic thing, says there is, basically they deny the deity of Jesus in a very sneaky way, but it's very antichrist, that philosophy that they are trying to inculcate in our public school system. So as we come together and we ally together, each other, we need to strengthen the community of Christ across this United States. So therefore, the more we walk in strength as community, the more victory we're going to have. The name of Jesus is about every name. So we go into all different kinds of battles with no fear. Put your hand on the neighbor and say, no fear.
No fear.
In fact, there's a scripture that the apostle gives us. God does not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Put your hand on your heart. Say, God does not give me.
God does not give me.
A spirit of fear.
A spirit of fear.
But of power.
But of power.
Of love.
Of love.
And a sound mind.
And a sound mind.
So, I mean, you may have some reservations about your neighbor, if they have a sound mind or not.
You mean like the one sitting next to us that we're putting our hands on?
Yeah. I'm just joking. But it is God who gives us power of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Love, and love overcomes everything, and a sound mind.
And a sound mind.
It is, thank you, Lord. I'm not dependent on me. to have a sound mind. Yeah. God gives me a sound mind. Aren't you grateful? Hallelujah.
Amen. It's interesting. I just was looking at some of the work of a psychiatrist, a believer, a Christian psychiatrist who has started doing these this brain scan stuff to actually look at the actual physical brains themselves of people who come to him for treatment. And I'm intrigued with what he's doing. Of course, the sort of traditional psychiatric community is kind of trying to resist and, you know, belittle his work right now, because he is advocating for the fact that there is no such thing as just throwing psychiatric drugs at people who are experiencing symptoms of depression and, you know, various other things that you get psychiatry for. Fascinating guy, a believer. I didn't know he was a believer, but I watched some of his talks and his works and stuff, and I was like, I feel a glory around this guy. And then I Googled deeper, and turns out, sure enough, he and his wife are both believers. But he's a practicing psychiatrist, and he literally has come up with specific, healthy, natural ways to help our actual brain material stay sound as we age, or as we, you know, may experience various kinds of psychological or physical traumas to the brain, so on and so forth. And it was fascinating. When you said sound mind, all of a sudden I started seeing all the pictures of his brain scans of showing that the actual physical material of the brains that were deteriorating or harmed in some way, literally reviving, coming back to full physical health. So we receive today from the great physician for the actual physical organic material. Supposedly it's kind of like the texture of soft butter being held inside, you know, our helmets that are our skulls. But we bless our brains today that no trauma, no impact from any kind of environmental or pharmaceutical or pesticide, mold, any other thing like that. We bless by the laying on of hands. We receive a sound mind in the restoration and recovery of healthy brain function, brain substance, the actual tissue. We speak resurrection into the brains that are in our heads. In Jesus' name, we declare a sound mind. Amen.
Amen.
Mahesh, you got me going on the track of the whole story of Simon the Sorcerer in the book of Acts as you're talking today. And those couple of chapters are so exciting, because Acts chapter 8 and chapter 9 include some of the Acts 7, the end of 7, 8, and 9 include some of the most exciting and relevant stories for us. It starts with the stoning of Stephen. And in the context of Stephen literally being pelted to death with rocks, he is so connected as an eyewitness to the reality of the resurrected Son of Man being present in heaven but there on earth, that literally as he's being stoned, and remember who's holding the garments consenting to Stephen's death?
Saul,
and a zealot, young, you know, Jew that was eager to stamp out this heresy of claiming that this, you know, rabbi from Nazareth was the Messiah they were waiting for. And so Saul is there as a witness, and Stephen's testimony that literally as he's being pummeled to death, you think about that, he just moved beyond the actual physical experience. And ultimately, it said that his face was like the face of an angel. He had such peace and joy and the light emanating from him while he was being stoned to death. And his last words were, "Look, there he is, seated on the throne." I mean, it's so powerful. And Saul was witness to that, but it had no impact, apparently, at that moment on Saul's conversion. Because immediately we see Saul driven all the more to get rid of the Christians. And that was the beginning of the persecution that drove them out of Jerusalem. The churches that John is concerned about later were some of the ones that were the results of the persecution of the church that arose out of Stephen's death. But then, it's the most powerful thing. And then we step right into the event of Philip as an evangelist being sent out with great joy following the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because they were being freed from the power of sorcerers and various other influences that had the people kept in fear and poverty and oppression. And in Acts verse 9, it says, Philip went down to Samaria in Acts 8:5 and preached Christ. Say, preach Christ. Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, preach Christ. Christ. I commission you. Say, I commission you. With the Holy Ghost in you.
Holy Ghost in you.
To preach Christ. Hallelujah. So it says that Philip preached Christ, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things being spoken. Remember, the Lord has said this is the decade of the mouth. He's put his words in our mouth. We don't have to go looking for him. The Holy Ghost is in you, so you'll be ready and equipped in any situation to preach Christ. He'll give you wisdom and the way to do it. It's not always, look, you sinner, you're going to hell. You need to say the sinner's prayer. That's not always the way to preach Christ. But oftentimes we need to learn our culture's language, not in terms of adopting it, but like Daniel did. He learned how to communicate to the king and the people in power, including they had levels of sorcerers and all that were the king's counselors. Anyway, but it says here that the multitude with one accord, we claim harvest. The multitude heeded the things being spoken by Philip, hearing, say hearing.
Hearing.
And seeing the miracles he did. Hands up. Hands up. Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, he will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So you have been endowed with miracle power working in your hands. So we activate afresh the miracles that he did, and unclean spirits crying with a loud voice, like so many of the stories we've seen and heard and all the things way back to Texas, Africa, and back to here, unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice. It's not exactly the way you're going to have conduct an orderly church service. But apparently this is God's order. The kingdom being demonstrated and every other knee bowing, every other tongue confessing. Many came out, many who were possessed, paralyzed and lame were healed. And it's interesting how Jesus always mixes demonic strongholds with physical infirmities. So remember that, because you have an anointing to heal, release from demonic, from spiritual captivity, and bring a demonstration of physical healing. And this is the hour for the priest. And I love it. In verse 8 it says, and there was great joy in that city. Do you remember, I remember you and the team were way deep in the bush. I was at home, but you brought back audio tapes back in the, days of, stone and, before they invented fire and all of that. Yes. And you brought back audio tape from this one particular city way deep in the African bush where you had preached the gospel and this exact thing had happened. And the whole village was singing deep into the night. And it was the most powerful and amazing thing, the resonance of just getting to hear the audio tape.
I was, remember that service we had the edge of Lubumbashi where the governor was Governor Kilolo.
Right.
And he was the governor of this province. And he welcomed us. I mean, there were certain places that could shut the door, but they opened the door for me to proclaim Christ. And he even came to the meeting. He's the governor for, several million people. And there was a lady that was in front of me. There were several who had been brought with different infirmities. This lady had a big, giant growth.
We have her
cancer. Yes.
Yeah.
Big growth there, and I took authority over every demonic oppression right there, and that's kind of like the scenario here. And the governor had his eyes open. He just went into it that
there
much.
There to see who is meddling in his
and his he was business. Just looking around, and I said, in Jesus' name, every infirmity, every demonic oppression, be gone. And just immediately, that giant growth, poof, and it disappeared. And he came running up to the altar and said, I am a wicked man, and I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And it convicted him.
Say, we are anointed.
Amen.
Can I go on with his story? Because it's that story. It's this story, too.
But anyway, the thing I needed to tell just
for
a moment. Governor Kilolo came, and he started confessing.
Oh, yes.
With thousands of people listening. And he said, I'm a wicked man. And he started talking about all the wicked things. And he had several mistresses. And he started confessing publicly. I mean, the spirit of conviction. I said, whoa, you don't need to tell everything here. Anyway, and he really turned his life to Jesus Christ.
Oh, and he did. He became the most humble, darling, and ardent evangelist. I mean, he committed himself that his entire province would hear and receive the gospel within the next couple of years.
And the triggering thing was that big growth disappearing in front of his eyes. And he said, where did it go? Where did it go? I said, Jesus took care of it. He took it wherever it is.
Yeah, there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people, claiming that he was someone great. And they had all given him heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And it says that they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he followed Philip, amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. You have an anointing.
Amen. So you were about to pray for them. Why don't you all stand up? Let there be, like you said, they are anointed. You say a prayer and you got it.
Mm-hmm. Going back to your scripture here in Colossians.
It's,
I'll go here in, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you that your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, the hope that you have, and your belief in the word of truth in the gospel will bring forth much fruit. And now we pray that you would walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him and being fruitful. Say, being fruitful. In every good work. And that is including signs, wonders, and miracles. Say, in every good work. Being fruitful. In every good work. Increasing in revelation and intimacy with God in person, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So we give thanks to God the Father that has made us partakers, inheritors of his kingdom of light, and has delivered us from the power of darkness and has anointed us to deliver others from powers of darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of light. And we decree that though deep darkness cover the people, His light is rising on us. In Jesus' name, the darkness cannot overwhelm my light. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.